In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God forever.
You'll have to excuse me. This morning, my dad didn't leave me much, but he left me hay fever jeans, and so I'm a little bit, hopefully not going to be sneezing. I don't know if you know how lucky we are in Wisconsin that when we have a couple of hot days, we have a day that's maybe 95, and then almost immediately it gets cool again. We have a little thunderstorm, and it's just, it's a relief, right? Okay, in Oregon, it's not like that. In Oregon, it's hot, and it's hot for weeks, and there are wildfires, and it's genuinely unpleasant. And I was thinking about this on Tuesday as I was sitting out watching my kids play in the sprinkler and just enjoying it and knowing that it was going to be mostly done after it was really hot. And I was thinking about how pleasant it was and how just this time last year, it was a whole lot less pleasant because I still had 5 kids, but one of them was still on the inside. And it was the first pregnancy that had made it to full term since my first. And I forgot how long that was. And it was really hot. And so I was waiting for her to come, and also my doctor had given us the go-ahead to have a home birth because I have really, really fast labors, and he and I were both afraid we were not going to make it to the hospital in time. We almost had our 4th as a roadside delivery. Like, if we had doubted our timing at all, like, he really would have been born in the car. So we were going to have her at home, and we had never done this before, and I'm super crunchy, but I am not that crunchy. That's just a hair beyond the crunchy that I am, okay? So I was a little anxious, and a friend in Portland who's a midwife and who's also Orthodox, she said, why don't you ask St. Olga of Alaska to pray for you? I said, okay, I know who St. Olga of Alaska is. She's not actually St. Olga yet. In fact, to this day, she's not St. Olga because pandemics happen and synods don't happen, and so she's still waiting to be officially canonized. And I said, is it okay to ask intercession from someone who's not officially canonized yet? Because I'm super black and white, okay? Like, I really like things official and linear, and I want them rubber stamped by the highest ranking hierarch that can be found. Really, I want things very concrete, okay? So I had to find out a little bit about what it means to be a canonized saint versus an uncanonized saint. And maybe it would help you to know a little bit about who St. Olga, Blessed Olga, she's still technically Blessed Olga of Alaska, is. She was an Alaska native of the Yupik people. She lived in Kwetlik, which is a remote rural town in sort of the northwest of Alaska. In fact, it's about 10 minutes away from where my parents met, which made me feel a little extra special connection with her. She lived there all her life from 1916 to 1979, so she's quite a modern almost saint. She was the wife of the village priest and a mother of 13. 8 of her children survived, so she also had experience with loss. She was known for giving away her family's clothes to people that she knew that were in need, even though her family was not at all wealthy either. And she was the village midwife. So she would visit villages in the surrounding area when her husband, who was the sort of circuit priest, would visit them, and she would help women deliver their babies. She was also known for having the gift of being able to discern whether it was safe for a mother to give birth at home or whether she should actually make the trek by dog sled or snowmobile to the closest hospital. So she had a little gift of discernment that was a little extra. And she was an extremely prayerful person who believed in showing the spiritual life rather than talking so much about it. She was described as always being somehow very, very busy doing good works, but also somehow also available whenever you needed her. So that was St. Olga. Today is the Feast of All Saints. So belated happy Orthodox Halloween to everybody would have been yesterday. What is a saint? St. Paul writes to the saints in the epistles, but you'll notice it's a small s, and it means the whole church. So am I a saint already? Despite lots of evidence to the contrary? Yes, sort of. Actually, lowercase s saints are the people of the church who are striving for holiness. The origin of the word saint just means holy. So we're baptized and we've received the seal of the gift of the Holy Spirit, and so this seed is there, right? So yes, there's holiness already. But what difference is there between me and St. Nicholas or St. Olga or Blessed Olga of Alaska? My husband and children are not allowed to comment. That was a rhetorical question. But really, what's the difference? What's the difference between a capital S saint and a lowercase s saint? I like this kind of pithy quote from the Greek Archdiocese. The saints are saints thanks to the grace of God, and they do not need official ecclesiastical recognition. So there goes my desire for a rubber stamp. In our time, saints are canonized to avoid cults and confusion. But the way that anyone ever comes up for canonization is actually popular recognition. So, for instance, St. Herman wasn't canonized until 1970, but he passed away in the 18th century, right? And it was a couple hundred years before he was actually officially recognized by the church. And now he's venerated from Alaska to Greece to Russia and all of the Orthodox world. So people remembered him, and the church took notice of that and canonized him. They got on board. What makes someone recognizable as a saint? What made Blessed Matushka Olga's contemporaries recognize her as saintly? She said never to have yelled at her children. Was it that? That seems like a good criterion to me. But then again, it's a eupic value never to yell at all. It said that real people, eupic means real people, don't ever yell. So I think she had extra practice at that, and that's probably not it. I've read that what makes a saint is that they preserve the image of God in themselves. The average human defaces that image of Christ in himself. It's like we cover up that icon of Christ with dirt every time we sin, every time we give into our passions. And the saints are working at making that icon clear. They're just cleaning it off. That's what repentance is about. They cooperate with grace to become holy. They are doers of the word and not hearers only. The Beatitudes describe them, and they demonstrate the works of mercy. They love without limit. So Matushka Olga was busy and praying tirelessly to fulfill Christ's commandments. Are the saints perfect? Probably not. Hagiographies, which are stories of the lives of saints, they tend to kind of gloss over imperfections. But it's illuminating to look at modern saints who live within the last 100 years or so and see what human sainthood really looks like. St. Maria Skoptsova was cleaning up her icon of Christ in the 20th century and died in a World War II Nazi concentration camp. She had given her life for someone else who they had selected. And that was to cap off a life of feeding the hungry and clothing the naked and caring for the sick, and also smoking. She was known for smoking. In fact, people in Paris would describe her as that nun who comes begging and smoking, which smoking is considered a passion, just in case you didn't know. So that would be considered a little imperfection. Most saints probably wouldn't be portrayed in an icon of smoking. So but like Christ, her goal was to be holy, not to look holy. In her most famous quote, she says, "Piety, piety, but where is the love that moves mountains?" Saints Peter and Paul, you may remember from the Bible, got along about as well as oil and water. But their icon shows them embracing, because Christ perfects everything, right? And no one can forget the story, which might be apocryphal, of St. Nicholas slapping Arius. If it didn't happen, maybe it should have. But we like that story, right? Anyways, in this life, no one's perfect. One is holy, right? But the saints are still pretty visibly human, even as they are striving for holiness. Saints are recognizable by their clear image of Christ in the world. They will not all look the same. And as much as we're called to become saints ourselves, we are not called to become Matushka Olga or St. Maria Skoptsova or St. Nicholas. In the 4th century in Myra, Christ looked like a man giving away everything he had to feed the poor and standing up for the truth about God publicly. And in the 20th century, he looked like a diminutive Alaskan native woman who was making mittens and mukluks for everybody in her parish that needed them and praying and delivering babies. And also he looked like an aristocrat who had become a nun and was smoking and begging and feeding people and then eventually giving her life for someone. So we ask the question, what makes someone a saint? And the saints ask us, how will you be a saint? What does Christ look like in Wisconsin in 2022? I want to add one additional thought to this. Recently, I saw two images juxtaposed, one of someone summiting a mountain and one of someone climbing up out of a pit. And it was observed that when someone summits a high peak, we usually applaud that. We usually really make a big deal out of that. But when somebody climbs up out of a pit, even a pit that maybe was just as deep as that mountain was high, we don't really stop and notice that so much, right? St. Paisios of Mount Athos tells us it's not what we achieve in life that Christ notices. It is the work that we have done on our old man. So whoever we were before we started repenting, the work that we have done since then, that's what Christ notices, even if that isn't that noticeable to people around us. So the saints, they were noticed by people for their holiness, right? But that doesn't mean that someone else that just maybe, like me, struggles to keep a temper under control isn't really working hard, right? Blessed Matushka Olga never yelled at her children. Maybe if I go for a day without yelling at my children, that's still pretty good. That's still really hard work. And so we're not required to have it all fixed immediately. We're required to be working on it. I bring this up because on this All Saints Day, I want us to come away with the understanding that the saints aren't removed from us. They are us. Everybody started out where we are. They're not perfect. And the fact that those around them were able to recognize their holiness is perhaps not the most important thing about them. Like St. Maria Skubsova, we are not required to look holy. We are required to be holy. And what makes holiness is obedience to and love for Christ. So as St. Paisios points out, when we are doing work on our old man, cleaning off our icon of Christ, repenting, however you would like to describe it, we are doing the work of becoming saints. Saints are saints because they cooperate with his love, and because we know how much he loves us, I would dare say that he is making saints all day, every day. St. Maria, St. Olga, and St. Nicholas would not have called themselves saints. They only knew that they were loving and obeying Christ, because what else would they do? So I looked at the saints as reminders of what Christ can make when we do the simple obedience and love asked of us.